EHAS Club presents Stories to Create Podcast, where the tale of our guest takes you back, way back to where the story first got created. Now, to help create this new story, here is your host, Cornell Bunting.
Yes, 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 yes. Welcome to another episode of Stories to Create Podcast. Right here at EHAS Club, I am so excited right now because, you know, we got business owner, innovator in the building. She does the lashes, people. It's a beautiful thing. Help me welcome none other than Mrs. Sarah Lastra.
Hello. Thank you. I'm happy to be here. I told you I was excited, looking forward to
this. Listen, we've been excited to get you on the show since you did that gender war thing.
Yeah, when I was on the panel.
Like, I was like, yo, she got some stuff to say, people.
I do. I have a lot to think. You know, this mind is always going. I have something going. So I got something to say.
I like that. And you've been paying attention. So what my listeners like, you know, is when the guests go back with them. Like, so we want you to take the listeners back to the early years, the baby, the young lady.
The rough years.
Yeah. The rough years.
Oh, what, man.
How far, where are you taking us back?
So if we're starting, I guess, from the beginning of, I guess, what I remember of my life starting, when I came from Venezuela to the United States.
Okay.
So, you know, as an immigrant, that's a huge shock. Like, that you're leaving your family behind, you're leaving everything that you know. Coming to a country that I don't know anybody, I didn't know the language, and I was very young, so... Yeah.
How young were you?
I was 6 years old.
What?
So, although I may not remember an area of my life where I didn't understand people, like, which is weird, because I'm like, I don't remember not having people communicate with me properly, like, where they were speaking to me and I didn't know what they were saying.
Right.
But I guess that's where it all began for me, like, my story, you know, a little bit before that, I do remember... So a lot of my life in Venezuela with my father, my mother came here. My life changed completely. And then I guess this is where I've had to build who I am.
Did they ever tell you like why they had to leave Venezuela to come here?
Yeah. So it wasn't more of like a have. It was more of an opportunity. You know, chasing the American dream.
Oh, yeah.
The American dream.
The American dream.
Everybody else says. So, they came here to give us a better life.
Wow.
Yeah. And I think my mom every single day, I tell her all the time, because once we came here, my family did separate. And so my mom was a single mom in a country. She didn't know the language with two girls, you know, trying to make it work. What? And I tell my mom all the time, I'm like, Mom, thank you so much for the sacrifices that you made, because you could have easily gone back to our country.
Right.
And, you know, that is a huge motivator for me.
Right.
Because I'm always like, you know, my mom sacrificed her life and a lot of the comforts that we had there. We did live comfortably, so we didn't need to come here, but they're like, okay, well, we know our children will have a better opportunity. So a lot of the stuff is, I have children, so I get motivated by them, but that's really good. My mother is like,
she's a motivator.
Yeah. So, I'm like, she did a lot.
So
I gotta make this worthwhile. You know, I'm like, I'm in the United States of America.
Now,
make this stuff happen.
When you came, how long before your dad left the family?
Oh, that was like immediately. Like once my mom hit the airport, she was like, we're done. You know, she knew what he was doing. And she was like, I'm not about it. I'm in the States. I don't care. You can go.
Oh, yeah, ladies.
So, yeah. Why you guys like that, though?
Dad was a ladies' man.
this guy.
Listen. I think that's an issue for a lot of guys. But yeah. I don't know.
The discipline. There's a lot of struggle with men and discipline, I would say. There's no discipline. No discipline. So she was like, I'm in the States. Thank you. You can go.
Done.
Bye. And that was it. Yeah.
Wow. Did you guys ever get to see him, like, you know, while you were
here?
Yeah,
he would come, like, here yearly, you know. Okay. And then he actually passed away in 2020 because of COVID.
Wow.
So he was one of, like, it was in March. So he was one of the first ones that got it. Oh. They had no idea how to treat him.
Right,
you know,
right,
they put him on a respirator, and it was just downhill
from
there.
That was it. Wow. So when you... Okay, so you got here at 6. Where was here? Was it in Miami? It was here? Where?
It was Utah.
What?
Yeah, it was Utah.
You was in Utah.
It was cold, and I stayed there until 2015. Okay. That's when I made the move down here to Florida.
Ah, so Utah, you... So before you got to Utah, you've never seen snow before?
No.
Wow.
No, never saw snow.
Was you shocked when you see?
I really did enjoy it as a kid.
Yeah?
Because there's so many activities from like sledding, skiing, snowboarding. I did everything that you could think of in the snow. But now when I go back, I don't want anything to do with it. I'm like, leave me in the house. I don't want to be cold. I don't want to be uncomfortable. You know, you get used to this like tropical Florida weather.
Right, I don't
want the winter.
No. So your kids were born in Utah?
Both of them, yes.
Wow.
My little one, when we came to Florida, he was about 8 months old.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
So he's a Floridian.
So it was really a thing of, I just didn't want to deal with the cold no more. I'm moving.
Yeah, the people, I just felt it was a very stagnant energy. Mm-hmm. And even when I go back, all my friends and everything, I feel like life has still just... It's still the same.
It's the same.
You know, for me, my biggest evolution was making that step to move to Florida.
Right.
It pushed me so much out of my comfort zone. And that's where I began with my entrepreneurship, like, you know, building businesses and real estate. And, you know, I have a couple of things, you know, so I do have the spa, the lashes.
Yeah.
But I do have my own skincare line.
Ooh.
So, you know, I've previously just been marketing that like throughout the spas and just locally.
Mm-hmm.
But within the past year, I've made huge changes with the business to downsize.
Oh.
And so now I'm focusing more of like e-commerce. Like, you know, like your clothing brand.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, we got your clothing brand with the little Haitian and the Jamaican swimsuits. But so, you know, I'm like, I'm trying to tap into that a little bit more and not work so much in the business.
That's the move. That is the move, right?
My focus has switched from entrepreneurship to more of like, my family and my home, because my business has always been my baby.
I've always been
in a position where I've had to take care of my family, you know, whether I had a partner or not.
Right.
So I don't like that dynamic. And I'm like, I'm trying to really switch it up and be like, all right, let's sit more in the feminine energy. Let's, you know, focus on home. And that's one of the reasons why I did downsize and, you know, focus more on myself.
So school in Utah, what was that like?
School in Utah was tough.
Was it?
Because back when I was growing up there, Utah is very white-based. It was just a lot of Americans. There's not a lot of Hispanics. And if there were, they were just Mexicans. And there was like a small amount.
Wow.
So when I was growing up, I was very, very much the minority.
Okay.
Even up until when I had my older son.
Yeah.
He was a minority in his classroom. Like, everybody is blonde hair, blue eyes.
Yeah.
So what I feel like that did for me is coming from a country that, you know, I look normal, you know, and then now I'm stepping into a place where everybody's looking at me because I'm so different. I was not used to that.
Yeah.
So I naturally just gravitated towards, I guess, trying to blend in. So as a little girl, I remember really trying to fit in with the girls and being like, you know, the little American girls and what they were doing and what they were watching and just kind of really embracing it. So I would say I've really embraced the American culture because I felt like I had to fit in.
Okay.
As I got older, I was like, no, my difference is my power.
Right,
you know,
it
was probably middle school, high school, where I really started like really coming into my roots. And I'm like, no, I'm okay. It's okay to be Latina.
It's okay
to be Venezuelan and different. You don't have to be, you know.
Yeah.
And so... It's a struggle, you know, trying to fit in a place that you feel like you're not from here. You know, you're not from here.
So you have a lot of white kids. There was no black kids.
No. In my high school, there was like 2 or 3 black kids.
Wow.
And in the Hispanics, it was maybe like, and we all knew each other. It was like a Hispanics hallway. We'd all meet in between classes, you know, say hello.
Yeah.
And that was probably like a good 30 kids at the most.
Wow.
Out of a school of, it was a big school.
Everything else
was like American.
So you work regular job in Utah before you came to Florida?
I was in customer service.
Ah.
Yeah. So I was on the phones a lot and I hated it. I can't be an employee.
You can't be talking to these
people. Don't tell me when my break is. Don't tell me when I can take my lunch. And don't tell me I took too long. Like, I can't.
Yeah.
And I just don't operate well under so much like control.
Right,
you know, I guess that spirit is in me regardless. My father was an entrepreneur. So I'm like, I think I got it from him,
you
just kind of
him,
naturally.
Yeah. Okay.
But yeah.
So is mom here or mom still in Utah?
She's still in Utah. Ah. She has never left.
Wow. Mm-hmm. How's the communication?
It's great. I talk to my mom every day. I literally was trying to call her this morning. Like, we talk every day. She's my best friend.
Yeah.
So we still stay in touch, and, you know, I visit her as much as I can.
So, you know, there's quite a bit to ask you. Like, this. Because, you know, I had people that knew I was going to have you on the show. They're like, yo, she got to ask her this, but I got to ask her.
Okay, like,
let me pick
from... Let me take a sip of water, because I don't... You're stressing me out.
He's like, don't stress me out. So, in this paradigm shift we're in now, when did you think we got to where women felt like, you know what, we need to be on the same playing field as the guys?
So I don't necessarily say we need to be in the same playing field.
Oh, no?
No.
Okay.
Because we're not playing the same game.
Right.
We have the same goal in mind. You know, the goal is to win.
Right,
like, we're
right.
both going to win this together.
Right.
But I'm not going to be doing the same thing that you're doing. You may have some weaknesses.
Right.
That I could see as a strength for myself. And I'm like, you know what? I got you. Like, I think it's more of a, like, complimenting each other, you know? And it's not sort of like, oh, let me get on your playing field. I want to be with you. But, like, in the fact where I could sit next to my man and hustle with him, I could do it for sure.
Right.
So if that's what you mean by, like, the playing field, I guess that. But I'm not really trying to compete with him. I'm like, no. Again, I told you, I'm really, like, rooting into, like, the feminine in me. And I love it. It is so beautiful here. And I'm like, I've always carried that masculine energy, being the older sibling, just having the childhood that I had, the previous partners that I had were...
Right.
Not stepping into the masculine as they should have. So if they're not stepping in, I had to do that, you know, so I became that alpha. And then having a business, you naturally have to be a leader. And so you're very much in masculine energy all the time.
Right.
And I thought, like, for me, it was normal. I'm like, I've been doing this 8 years, you know, so I've always been in this, like, zone
until
like the last year where I'm like, no, who is Sarah? Yeah. You know, you may ask me, who is Sarah? And, like, I was thinking on my way here, I'm like, if he asked me, who is Sarah? I'm like, who is Sarah?
Who is,
like,
Sarah?
I'm still discovering her, you know,
still,
like,
discovering
and
her,
the more I unravel these layers, like, the more like beautiful it is, you know. So I really don't want to be in that energy, and you know, I do what I need to do, as you know, to provide for my children, but I'm sitting back and really, like, you know, taking it easy.
I like that. So someone said, and I want to get your take on this, because someone said toxic relationship is healthy.
In what way? Because that, you can't put toxic and healthy in the same sentence. That's like an oxymoron, like saying jumbo shrimp. Like, what?
You say jumbo shrimp?
Ew, yeah, jumbo huge shrimp is small. So, like, where are you, you know? So,
what's going
what do you
on
mean
here?
A healthy, toxic relationship?
This is what this young lady said. A toxic relationship is healthy because a guy doesn't have to worry about a woman not there because she's there all the time. In his face.
Does this woman not have, like, a hobby or goals?
He's like, what is wrong with this woman?
Yeah, like, I want to, let me talk to this woman. I really want to see what her context is. Because you just threw it, I'm like, I don't know. There's nothing healthy about anything toxic.
That
you
doesn't
know?
Make no sense. Huh?
No, no.
I agree with that.
What it could be more of, like, a dependency that they may have. Mm-hmm. And, they may think that it's healthy having somebody next to you like that,
right.
You know, but I don't know. I don't think that's a...
I think you and I can agree that we're in a time now where inclusion is huge. Got a lot of genders.
Mm-hmm.
How you feel the majority of society is fitting into that? What that look like? You think we're doing good fitting in? Or?
I think we are not.
No.
I think just so society is really pushing away from the traditional aspects of what relationships should be, if that's what, you know, in that context, where there's a lot of women wanting to be like, okay, I'm in the same playing field, which is great. I'm not saying that we are worthless or we should be getting paid less for the same thing that a man is doing. You know, I know there are inequalities with incomes and things like that. But I feel like it's pushing a narrative where women don't need men.
Right.
And the men are feeling like a trauma from women. And so mm-hmm. they're getting experiences from women that are very uncomfortable.
Yeah.
You know, they're challenging, they're uncomfortable. Yeah. And that's just because I feel like what's getting spread is that, like, you don't need a father in your home. You don't need a man. You don't need to do this. Go do it on your own. And I've been there, done it.
Yeah.
It's not fun. Like, boss B, I can't, I don't want to, like, curse or anything. I'm like, boss babe, oh, she's a boss. She's an alpha. You're so strong. Yeah. I'm like, yeah, but is that really your nature? No.
Right.
And so that narrative is getting pushed. It's like, yeah, women are strong. We're strong in our own way.
Right.
Men are strong in their own way. So, just nowadays, I think as a society, it's really breaking up families. It's breaking up families, and it's just raising children mm-hmm. that are now going to struggle with their own relationships because they don't see functioning parents in a household, or they stay together because it's healthy for the family, but mm-hmm. it's toxic.
It's toxic.
So toxic, healthy, right? And there. Then, it's like, oh, we're doing it for the kids. Or, I was in a relationship where the kids were happy.
Mm-hmm.
My partner was happy, and I thought I was happy. I was like, everybody's really happy. I'm good. I should be good. I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing.
Right.
And that reflected outwardly. Mm-hmm. I was gaining weight. I didn't really take care of myself.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought everything was good until I really, like, kicked back, and I was like, no. You know, there's something that's not clicking here. I'm like, I can't be in a situation where I'm not happy just for the sake of the health of the relationship and the children.
Right.
So I guess that could be an example of a healthy, toxic relationship.
Yes. I think you did justice for the ones that feel like it's healthy. Yeah. So I like that. In school, did you do sports?
I did.
What sports
I did used you do? To play volleyball and basketball.
Okay.
Basketball was my favorite.
Was it good?
I was.
Yeah.
I got MVP a few times.
Yeah. Okay.
So I did my thing. I'm a little vertically challenged, so basketball I struggled with, but I was good, I went in there, did my thing. So yeah, I played basketball and volleyball.
That's a beautiful thing right there. The energy now that you get from your kids going to school, do they get some of that energy from you, like them playing in school?
I would say so. Yes. Yeah. Because their father was not, like, really in sports. Like, he's more of a watcher, and I'm more of a doer. Like, I can't sit down and watch games. Like, I can't be like, oh, that's what I'll watch a basketball game with you. I'll go watch it live for sure. But to sit and watch, not so much. To play, that's a different story.
You're in it.
I'm in it. And so the kids love to play. Like, they're both in soccer. I keep them busy with that. And it gives them a good foundation and structure. They need that discipline. They need to push themselves and have difficult moments. So sports is a great thing.
That's a beautiful thing right there. So the Spanish base here, did you ever get a chance to, like, get in with the clique of Spanish that was here in Florida, or not really?
No, not really.
No?
Mm-mm. So I would say my friends are very diverse.
Okay.
I have, like, little friend groups everywhere. Like, I have like Latina friends, I have Haitian friends, I have like a little group of Jamaican friends, I have a little bit of like a connection to everybody.
Okay.
And I just share my time accordingly with, whatever we may be doing.
Okay.
But for the most part, I really do just kind of stay to myself. Like, if you ask me what's around the area, what do you want to go do? Where should I go drink and party? And I'm like, I don't know. I have
no idea.
Yeah.
What's the one home game you play if you're just chilling at the home?
At home?
Yeah.
Domino.
Domino?
Yeah. I tell my kids, and those kids are good. I went to the, was it Christmas or New Year's party with my friend, my Dominican friend?
Yeah.
And they're all Dominicans, right?
Yeah.
They're like pros at Domino. Ooh. I was at a table with all men, and I was there back to back every single round, whooping their ass off.
Really?
Yeah.
I love Domino. You know the dominoes.
Yeah,
like that.
It's a mind game. You know, like, you gotta, like, see people count cards, all that. kind of like poker.
Yeah, yeah, I like that.
Domino's my go-to. Yeah.
I've always thought Jamaicans are more dominated than Domino's.
Oh, really? I think, see, that's funny because I'm like, no, my people are like, what you talking about? Let's go. I should have brought my Domino's cards. We should have done it right here.
We got to have a showdown.
We'll have to do a follow-up on this.
I like that. In a lot of what's going on right now, you feel that parents are paying attention to their kids, or kids are becoming more a product of their environment.
Definitely a product of their environment.
Mm-hmm.
A product of their environment and what they're seeing, because nowadays life is not that easy.
Right.
You know, both family members normally are out there working.
Mm-hmm.
And because of that, there's a lack of connection at home.
Right.
You know, again, there's that whole aspect of like, oh, the mother being out there working just right. like the man, where I personally, you know, more traditional, I think the mother should be at home, like with the kids, you know, have your side thing, but the focus should be on establishing a strong foundation at home.
Right.
You know, because your children are being, I talk to my children a lot about everything, like adult things. Like, I'm not just like, I try to, especially now, since mm-hmm. I've backed away from the business,
right.
my mind was always business. Like, okay, I need to do this, the employees, market, like everything. I was doing too many things.
Right.
And where was the time for me to think of the children?
Right.
You know, so I was like, okay, they're entertained, they're good. And I just kind of felt it like they were pretty much not raising themselves, you know, but they didn't really have such a good guidance of like, right. I was here and there, but not connected. And so I feel like that's happening in a lot of households, not just in mine. Me right. being a single mom was even worse because yeah. there's no balance. Like, there is right. no, like, who are you talking to if I am busy?
Right.
and so they distract themselves with their phones
right.
and social media and right. their friends. And when do you really sit down at dinner and be like, all right, let's discuss, you know, what's right, what's right. wrong? Like, who are you? Who are yeah. you trying to build as a person? And, wow. Yeah. So unfortunately, I feel like that's where
yeah.
society's taking our children is they're raising them. They're raising our children. They're being influenced. And even if I talk to my kids and I tell them, you know, I go off on a rampage of like random stuff. And right. I'm like, are they listening? Like
right.
my teenager, you know, you have a teenager. Yeah, yeah, and I'm yeah, like, yeah. I talk to you. And I'm like, are you listening to me?
Yeah.
I'm like, I don't know. But I'm yeah. just hoping that like, something sticks, you know, right. out of everything that I say. I'm like, something's got to stick.
Yeah.
And I tell them, I'm like, you know, this is what's happening in school. This is, you know, I have a lot of strong beliefs of, I guess you could call them like conspiracy theories, but like a lot of the stuff that's like getting taught in schools, I don't really agree with, you know, but I'm mm. like, you know, do what you need to do, get that piece of paper. But I was right. like, at the end of the day, grades is not a determination of who you are as a person. Mm-hmm. My little one, I tell him that all the time because he struggles with school yeah. and he thinks his value is worth whatever letter grade they're giving him.
Right.
And I'm like, you as a person, you are an amazing person. He's mm-hmm. giving, he's loving, he's selfless, like he's everything. But on paper, it looks like, oh my gosh, who is this person?
Right.
So I'm like constantly telling them, I'm like, this is not who you are.
Right.
You know, like just get through what you need to get through. You know, people are going to hear, like tell you things. And at the end of the day, it's just being true to who you are.
Yeah.
Being happy.
In the lash world, we got to ask, why does the ladies want their lashes to be so long? Like, we still trying to understand that. So you got to help us understand.
Okay.
What do they say?
I would say it's personal preference because I am more in a little niche where I am more natural based. A lot okay. of my clients come for me because they like the natural look. They love the lashes and okay. everything, but they don't want to look like they're walking around with caterpillars in their eyes. Like what you're talking about. There's been times where I'm driving on the road and I look over
yeah.
and I can see the side profile of the girl next to me and her lashes are like this. And I'm just like, what are you doing? So no, I don't do that. That's not the lashes that I do. So that question might be for them. I think, it's a matter of like a personal style.
Yeah.
You know,
if any young lady come to you wanting one of those long lashes, are you going to do it?
No. I can't. You know why? Because yeah. my name is being put on that.
Uh-huh.
Oh, and like I have that view where I'm like, yeah. I don't feel like that's elegant or attractive right. or beautiful.
Right.
And then someone might else think that too. So they're yeah. like, oh, where'd you get your lashes done? Oh, I can do lash spot. Yeah, I'm not going there. Noted. No, they're walking billboards. Everybody's a walking billboard.
Like,
so if it's not my style, honestly, yeah. and I don't really, you know, not all money is good money. Like
right,
I really,
right.
like the clientele that I have is very, It's very exclusive. Like, okay. they know what they like. They like natural. They you know, and I'm like, okay, I can give you that.
Yeah. How about the lace front fitting in with what that looked like?
You mean like altering appearance, like changing style?
Well, you know.
Yeah.
Oh.
I would say it's similar.
Yeah.
It really is similar. You know, again, it's my client. Look, the clients are doing this for a lot of reasons. Mm-hmm. I get my lashes done. I have mine done. I do them more on the natural side. But once they start coming off.
Right.
I am feeling like a little boy. I'm like, I look like my dad. I look sick. I look like I'm tired.
Yeah.
Because it ends up look like uplift. Like it gives you a different look. Right. I'm like right now I'm not wearing any makeup, but I look like I'm put together, you know, lip gloss and I'm good. Yeah.
Clean. Yeah.
That's what women want. We like, it's something, you know, women are busy. So if they don't have to worry about their makeup so much,
right.
Their hair, their brows, because we do permanent makeup too. It's like, I get up and go. Like, yeah. I go to the gym and I'm like half asleep, but I'm like, okay, I know I'm halfway decent because I have something put together, you know?
Right, right.
So I think for women, that's what we're looking for, is just a little bit of more ease in our maintenance and taking care of ourselves. So all of that is just to simplify life.
Let me ask you, when a woman, you know, put on her best set to go to the gym and no guy looks at her, you think she feels bad or...
I feel that's very general speaking because I could give two shits if nobody's looking at me. If anything, even better, because I'm in my zone. I don't want nobody looking at me at the gym, especially at the gym.
Yeah.
Making weird noises, weird faces. I'm sweating. My face is red.
Yeah.
No, please don't look at me.
Yeah,
look over there. But I feel like, there's women out there that are, you know, going to the gym for different reasons.
Just getting the attention, look. Huh?
Exactly.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. So for young ladies that are listening to you, you know, and obviously they can tell you're an entrepreneur.
Mm-hmm.
What gives one the mindset to want to get in that space, not necessarily from an inheritance vibe or whatever that is, but dealing with society, like how one strengthened the mind to wanting to run for their self and believe in the dream.
It's what you just said, believe in the dream.
Mm-hmm.
Believe in yourself.
Okay.
Believe in yourself so much that you are stepping outside of the comfort zone and the zones that everybody has set in place.
Right.
People like security and they like comfort.
Right.
And that's where employees and jobs are great. We need all of that.
Right.
But
right.
if you really in your soul, like feel deep down that you're like, you know, this isn't for me. I want this. You're passionate about whatever it is.
Right.
I would say that's the route you need to take. And it's so scary.
Yeah.
When I made the jump, I was literally crying and I was like, what am I doing? Like, again, you know, I was the one providing for the family and I was bringing in most of the income at that time before, like I started with my lashes, I was in accounting.
Okay.
I was in corporate world.
Right.
I hated it.
Yeah.
I hated every moment of it, but I'm like, I'm making good money. You know, family's taken care of. Okay. We're good. And then when I jumped from that to lashes, I started as a beginner, you know, and my dad was the one that he's like, no, you can do this. He's like, just make the jump. Like, you know, lashes is going to take, like, he's like, this is a great business. Cause once he started seeing, you may talk about lashes. You're like, that doesn't sound very lucrative.
Right. Right.
But when you really look at behind the scenes and how, you know, I'm seeing clients consistently every 3 weeks for years, 7 years and like, and they come every 3 weeks, you know, like, and there's a lot of, there's a good profit margin because my skill is in what I'm doing, not so much of my inventory and everything, you know, so it's very, very small. The overhead doesn't get too crazy unless you have like the spas that I used to, you know, that's where I have employees and marketing and everything.
Yeah.
But I would say going back to your question is believing in yourself, like knowing that you can do it.
Doing a lash, how long does it take?
A full set will take about 2 hours.
Wow.
Yeah. And a fill would be about an hour and a half, depending. And that all depends on the technician's skill level, too. So, you know, my first set that I did on my model, my friend Patricia, which she now does lashes, too, and, like, has her own little spa, which I'm like, I love that for her.
Yeah.
But I remember my first set on her took me 4 hours.
Wow.
And I didn't even do the full set. And
no?
She just laid there patiently. You know, so at the beginning of this, I'm like, I love those people that really, like, supported me. You know, they laid there and they're like, okay, do what you need to do. And I'm like, thank you. My hand's like this, my hand's sweating on their forehead. And I'm like, I don't know what I'm doing. I know numbers. I can do accounting. What is lashes? I don't know.
Yeah.
But I loved it. I loved how I felt. And I loved how I made the women feel. Uh-huh. Like they would look at themselves, oh my God, I feel so good. And I'm like, that feels so good. Like, you know, when you're you know, there's people that help in other ways. And I'm like, I feel like this is how I'm contributing to helping my women.
You ever had like a woman that just come in that want to get tightened up, but her face looks so disruptive that you don't feel the lashes is going to help?
No. Every woman can. Every woman is beautiful. And I make sure that they know that every woman is beautiful. You may have like an idea of like what you think beauty is for you,
but
I see it in a way because I did grow up being very like criticized and all the time, you know? So my mentality was always like, I need to criticize too. So I got into a habit when I was younger of like criticizing everything. Okay. So now like what I did was retrain my brain. So every time I try to criticize or judge or be like, oh my God, I'd look for the beautiful of it.
I'm like,
oh my God, her hair might be crazy. I'm like, oh, but you know, I like those shoes. So, and I started retraining my brain. I'm like, every time I thought of a negative thing, I'm like, okay. And so, you know, I've learned to see the beauty in everything because everything is beautiful. And so I agree. And women are beautiful, like in every which way. So lashes emphasizes it. Even if they, like a lot of my clients are, you know, older, they're like, oh, it's hiding my eyelid droopings. And, oh, people aren't looking at my wrinkles. They're looking at my lashes. You know, they have their reasons.
Yeah.
And a lot of them struggle when they don't have their lashes. It becomes like, it's insane, but it becomes like an emotional attachment to the lashes. Wow. Just like I told you, like, during COVID, when I couldn't get my lashes done, because I can't do my own lashes.
Right.
I normally had like one of the girls at my spa do it for me.
Right.
And I would look in the rearview mirror with no lashes.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh my God, it's my father staring right back at me. Oh my God, I don't like this. And it does something to you. And I'm like, no. And so, you know, women, we get addicted to that. And
It
enhances at whatever level you're at, what age. It doesn't. My oldest client is 87 years old.
Wow.
And she is fabulous. She dresses up. She takes care of herself. You know, she's a sweet lady. And it does something for her, too.
Yeah.
At her age and at her, you know, at her, at the level that she's at in life, it still does something for her emotionally and physically, you know.
Guys that are dressing up at ladies now, do you ever get
Do you want me
those?
To tell you a story? Do we have time
yeah,
for this?
We got time.
It happened this week.
This week.
I went to the store. Let me tell you.
Yeah.
This guy comes up to me and I'm already checking out.
Yeah.
And he starts conversation and he's like, oh, what are you getting? I'm like, oh, I'm just getting a few things here and there.
Yeah.
And so small talk, we start making small talk. And then he goes on to start saying like, yeah, you know, I'm in a really good place in my life. I have both of my cars paid outright and they're my dream cars. It's like a Jaguar or something and a Range Rover. He's like, my house is paid outright. I live right here. It was like a, you know, wealthy community nearby.
Yeah.
He's like, and I'm about to be 30 years old next month. He's like, okay. I just don't have a woman to share it with me.
Right.
And I was like, be patient. I was like, don't be out there looking for it. I was like, it'll come to you. You know, I'm like, that's what I tell myself. I'm like, be patient. It's coming. I don't know why, but it's coming. And so I was telling this guy that, and he's like, well, what about you?
Yeah.
And I was like, no, I'm straight. I literally was like, no, I'm straight. I was like, thank you. You know why I said that? Let me explain to you how this guy looked. This is a guy with stubble on his face, like you right now.
Yeah.
Like what you have.
Right.
He had a wig on. A black wig, like up to here with like a purple streak, nails painted. So, and he tells me I'm a lesbian. And that's why I was like, no, I'm straight. I literally told him, I was like, I'm straight.
Yeah.
And he's like, yeah, but with me, you get the best of both. And I was like, he's like, because I still am like a man. And I was like, no. I was like, I like my men to be like men, you know? But I was like, so what are my thoughts?
Yeah.
I literally went in the car and I just laughed my ass off. I was like, this is not happening to me.
So he was
I was like, is this what I've come down to? Like, this is what's coming in to approach me? I was like, you know, I'm not going to take this personal. I was like, is this an insult to my species?
Oh my
I don't
goodness.
Know. But that literally happened to me this weekend.
Wow.
So the fact that you asked me that question and that wasn't even planned is crazy. But what I think about it is it's very controversial. I know people are very like forward of like, do what you want and what makes you happy.
Yeah.
And I'm all for it.
Yeah.
Do what you want. I don't care what happens behind closed doors. You like to dress like a frog and like leap in with your mouth. Go do something like that. But don't try to instill this in society where
right, right.
this is like, oh, I'm supposed to be.
Yeah. Like it's
you'll
okay.
be accepted. That's fine. Again, right. I'm not going to judge you, but yeah. it's not normal. You know, right, right. that is not nature. Yeah. Nature is black and white. Yeah. It's, you know, it's good and bad, woman and man. Like it's simple,
right?
Positive and negative.
Yes.
Any gray area, is what I would say. Any gray area is not a good place to be, right? Right, like right. if you're considering like heaven and hell, the middle is what purgatory.
Right.
Like
right.
the middle of anything where it's not solidified and there is no foundation, it's static. It's not mm-hmm. solid. So mm-hmm. I feel like there's that gray area where I'm like, you don't want to be in that area. It's either black or white, you right. know? So right. for me, it's very simple. I'm like, you do what you want. I just don't personally agree with it.
Yeah.
I don't get insulted if someone approaches me. You know, I've been hit on by women plenty of times and I don't ever like, you know, disregard them. I'm like, they're human. So they're right. here to live their experience.
Yeah.
They can do that as happily and crazy as they want. That's fine. Mm-hmm. But if you're asking me like the natural order of life, yeah. of what we really are, it's as simple as that.
Wow.
Everything has its opposite.
What is your go-to dish to cook for the kids?
Arepas. JJ, the little one. Arepas is a Venezuelan food. Okay. You're like, what? All the time, arepas. And it's like a cornmeal dough.
Okay.
And you just mix it with water and you bake them. And so they kind of puff up a little bit. And you cut them open and you fill them with whatever. Like you can do wow. chicken, beef, ham and cheese, tuna, butter and cheese. That's my favorite.
Butter just and cheese?
Butter and cheese. That's all I need.
Butter and cheese inside the cornmeal.
Inside of it, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, okay. And so ask Carter.
Yeah,
he knows okay. what I'm talking about. I was like the other day. He was like, "Oh, I was like Carter. There's some empanadas." I was like, "Yeah, you know they're like patties." He's like, "Oh, I know what empanadas yeah. are." I'm like, "You know, his friends are Diego's friends are getting a little Hispanic side." Yeah, my go-to would be arepas.
Wow.
But I do try to maintain like a healthy diet for myself and the children, mm-hmm. so I don't try to cook it as much.
I see.
My go-to, I normally meal prep, and I just have chicken with vegetables ready, and there's your food.
So you have a full week ahead of you. Do you prep?
Mm-hmm. I do. My week is just so effortless, like, when I do that. It flows so well, because yeah. when I don't, I'm just, like, running all over the place, eating food that I shouldn't be eating because right. I don't have the time to cook it. Or, mm-hmm. you know, so if I really spend a few hours, because it takes hours to cook it, like, on Sunday,
right.
I can prep for a good 4 days of food, and not just for myself, for the kids, too. So if I'm working late, the kids have good home-cooked food. It's not like frozen meals or canned or boxed or, you know, like
yeah.
eat what's in the fridge.
What does a productive day look like for Sarah?
Productive day for me is wake up early. I go to the gym, mm-hmm. come home, and I start prepping my breakfast. You know, I have my protein smoothie, make my eggs, get ready for work. Work all day long, have conversations. That's what I love about my job is like, it's like the barbershop. You yeah. go with the guys. You guys are talking, right, you know, right. all that. That's how it is for us too as women. So like wow. we're catching up on everything. And then now, as of now, is I can come home during the summer. Like I'm either like outside riding my bike or roller skating, hanging out with the kids. And right now it's really spending that time at home.
Wow.
Like just being at home is so nice because yeah. you work so hard to have such a beautiful place
right.
that you don't ever get to enjoy.
Enjoy, yeah.
So right now I'm like, home is so cozy for me right now. Right, you know, right. put my candles and put some music and I'm like, I don't want to go anywhere.
what's your go-to music?
Right now I would say neo soul. I love R&B, like old school R&B.
Yeah.
I would say that's where I'm, like, at right now. If I'm at the gym, it's different. It's more, like, Afrobeats and reggaeton and hip-hop, you know, because I need my blood flowing. I'm like, yeah. But right now, it's more of that. I put a lot of, like, classical or piano in the background because
mm-hmm.
that way it doesn't interfere with my thoughts. Because right. a lot of times, if I'm really trying to focus on, you know, whatever I'm planning ahead for the week or whatever I may be thinking of, if I have music with too many lyrics,
right.
because I'm a lyrics type of woman. And so if I'm listening to music, I'm listening to the words. I connect to music through words. So if I'm trying to have a thought with my own self, I get distracted by the music.
Right.
So a lot of the times I just put more classical and piano type of music so I can be in my head and kind of focus on that with no distractions. But
to get away, where is your go-to country outside of America?
My favorite. It's between two right now. It's Costa Rica and Colombia. But if I, like, when I do feel like, oh, I need to run away, yeah. I go to Costa Rica.
Yeah.
So if you see me in Costa Rica, it's like, oh, she's going through something. Because I'm like, that is where I connect so much with nature. It's yeah. just everywhere. It's yeah. so full of life and, like, beauty and the animals and the food. It's fresh. I'm like, this is life. It feels like life. So for me, a reset for me is going to Costa Rica.
That's my place. Wow. So you got friends there now?
I've made a couple friends, here and there. So depending on the city that I'm going, I have a couple friends. So I'll hit them up and, you know, I just feel safe because if I do travel alone. So I want to make sure that I'm getting connected with people that are.
That's awesome.
That are okay.
So for a young lady that's introvert, they want to get into the beauty world. What would you say to them?
Start with your closest friends around you.
Okay.
Your family, your friends. Oh, Lord, God bless my mom. But when I started into permanent makeup, she like allowed me to do her brows, you know, and I thought I did the best job. She brought in so many of her coworkers, all of this. And then now, you know, looking in retrospect, I was like, how did these women even allow me to do this to them? You know, like thankfully with microblading at that time, like it fades over time. So it wasn't like horrible, you know. But I'm like, you really, to really build that confidence within yourself and the art that you're doing and perfect it, you really need to do it repetitively. And it doesn't mean like, oh, let me draw on a paper or let me practice on a mannequin, because with lashes, you can practice on mannequins all day long. But until you get out there with an actual client, just like in the real world, until you get out there to actually do it is when you're going to learn. Wow. You can study all these books that you want, but that's not putting anything into play. You know, you actually have to execute it. And so I would say if you want to really step into the beauty industry is making it a community thing. Have your friends and family and friends of family and, you know, say, hey, I need some help. You know, can you help me with this? And they, in the long run, will help you with marketing, you know, and they will see you improving and they will, like, trust you more. So don't be scared.
Yeah.
It's scary. It's very intimidating because it's beauty. Yeah. You're messing with women's face.
Right.
Like, they walk out of the salon and they're messed up. That's on you. You mess up their hair. That's on you. And we, you know how we are as women. So, like, it is very important. And I'm like, yeah, just build that confidence. And once you trust yourself and you know your art.
Right.
You'll knock it out of the park everywhere you go.
That's beautiful.
And it's something you can take with you. That's what I love about the beauty industry, like what I do. Yeah. I can go anywhere in the world. And I'm like, you know what? Tomorrow I want to live in France. Tomorrow I want to live in Costa Rica. I'm leaving. Right. I can do lashes out there.
When was the last time you've been back to Venezuela?
Never went back.
What?
I couldn't go back because I just barely became a citizen in 2016.
Okay.
So before that, I couldn't travel.
Right, you couldn't travel.
I was a legal immigrant.
Right.
And so I've never been back. And then now that I want to go back, it's not safe to go back.
I see.
It is extremely dangerous. I do have all my family is there. My grandmother, that's like 91, is there. And I'm just like, oh my gosh, I'm running out of time and things aren't getting better. So unfortunately, I haven't been back. My sisters did go. My mom did go because they were in a different status than I was. You know, by the time my mom got her citizenship, I was already over 18. So she couldn't file citizenship for me.
I see.
So I got screwed out of the whole deal. I was like, no. So they were able to go to Venezuela and visit the family, but I've never been back.
Wow. Well, this is beautiful. So, you know, takeaways for listeners today with you believing in yourself and going into that feel of lashes and how do you feel at the end of the day when you're done doing a whole day's worth of work? How do you feel?
I feel exhausted, but fulfilled.
Fulfilled.
Mm-hmm. And that's kind of how I would say I think I see my whole life that way.
Okay.
I'm like, I am a very busy woman. Like, I do try to stay busy, aside from the times now that I'm taking at home to rest. But I want to get through life and be old and be like, I'm tired.
Yeah.
But you know why? It's because I did so much.
You did so much.
I did so much with a purpose and I was happy. I was out there doing this, that, meeting people, talking to people. And I'm like, that's really a good life experience. So, at the end of my day at work, I'm tired. You know, like I'm sitting down all day doing lashes. So, like, I got to stretch and do a couple things. But I feel good. That's like, it feels good. You know, so the fact that I can help so many women really. Just with their everyday life. And I am an undercover psychiatrist, too, a therapist, because they are literally dishing out all their information to me while they're sleeping. So
there you go. It's a beautiful thing.
There's different ways I can help,
This is good. How can people find you?
I'm under, my business is Candy Lash Spa.
Okay.
Everywhere on Facebook, Instagram. I don't have Twitter. I don't have Snapchat. Okay. I don't have TikTok. you know, Facebook and Instagram is plenty for me. Yeah. So I'm under Candy Lash Spa, and then my skincare line is Nature's Candy Skincare.
Nature's Candy.
Mm-hmm. Wow. So natural, yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Well, there you have it, guys.
Thank you.
Another beautiful story being told right here in EOS Club. So listen, until our next episode where we have another entertaining guest, a very colorful.
Yes.
I'm telling you guys, it's a beautiful thing. We'll tune right back in again.
Thank you
guys.
Thank you.
Thank you, love.
Thank you.
Yes, this is amazing. Oh, my goodness.
Well, there you have it. The host came, the guest came, and the story was created. Thank you to our sponsors, EHAS Inc., Karis Capital, and the Cornell Bunting LLC brand. Go check out the books, courses, and materials at www.cornellbunting.com. Thank you again for listening to the show. Check back again to hear another tale from another unique guest right here at EHAS Club.